It says that you put yourself on the same level that God is, or you think you are. When you judge people, you're putting yourself on the level with God. So don't judge, amen? Enough said? You got it? All right, we'll put that one away. If you want to see this one, it's online on our New Hope Family Worship YouTube page. You can watch that one. I did it last month. But today I'm going to catch you up with first service. We've been, I've been doing different messages, but today I'm going to do the same one. So the title of my message today is Don't Brag. Don't brag unless you're going to brag on Jesus, amen? If you brag about anything, just brag about Jesus. That's pretty much what I brag about is Jesus. I'm so excited what He's doing in my life, what He continues to do, and just how He stretches me and grows me. And I'm going to share a little bit about how He's been stretching me, you know, because I like to allow God to continually, daily work in my life, to transform me and change me. And it seems like the closer I get to the Lord, the more I realize how evil I am. You know, you realize, you know, your wickedness, the closer you get to Jesus, it's like, when that light shines on you, you think, oh boy, I got some work to do. And I know I'm your pastor, but, you know, how many of you know pastors are not perfect? All right, no hands raised. That's good. All right. Love you guys too. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We'll read the Word. We're going to read out of James chapter 4, and it's going to come to you from 13 through 17. And it says, do not boast about tomorrow. Beginning at verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Everybody say evil. Evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word today, I pray, Father, that you would speak to us, you would minister to us through your word, but Lord, most of all, that our heart would be open to receive, Father, that we would continually be transformed by the hearing of the word, and that, Lord, that you would speak life into us today, that we leave here, Father God, just better men and women of God from being in your presence, from receiving your word today. And Lord, even as we're going to have supper with you today, that, Lord, that we'll partake of everything that you attained for us through the cross. And Father, that we would walk in the victory of the cross, we'd walk in life and not death, we'd speak life over ourselves, Father, that we'd glorify you in all that we say and do. Lord, just continue to speak to us through this time, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. You know, most of you know, a couple of weeks ago I went to Pakistan, and in that trip, I spent 40 hours in the air. 40 hours of plane time. And that was like excruciating, you know. So, I mean, on the way back, my last flight was 16 and a half hours. I had a guy that was a little wider than me sitting next to me, and his elbow was right here the whole time. And I'm like, oh, man. I mean, he was old, you know, and I felt bad for him, you know, because, you know, I sit like this, so I don't, I sit like this, and I can sleep like this, but that elbow was just pushing me into the aisle, and then the cart would bang me, you know, and it's like, so I stuffed the pillow in there, you know, but you know, when you're on the plane like that, you got to come up with something to do. So I downloaded a game to my phone, you know, before I left. I thought, well, I have a phone. So I put this game on my phone, and I'm playing this game, and I got pretty good at it, Mario. I was ripping it up. But I'm going along in this game, but I wasn't winning. I thought, this ain't right, man. I felt like somebody on Wi-Fi was jacking with me, you know, because I was doing really good in the game, but I couldn't win. It said, you need this much more. And I'm like, how much more do you need? I did good. Come on, let me go to the next level. And I couldn't do it. I'm like, this is really starting to frustrate me. I mean, what do they want? What do they expect? Come on, I'm winning this game. But yet, I was not going to other levels. But as I played and I really, because I thought I was following the instructions. It'd come up on the screen, it'd tell you what to do, and bam, I did what I thought it told me to do. But as I went along and the more I played it, then my eyes were open to what I was really supposed to do. Because I was not playing right for a long time. And then once I learned what I was really supposed to do, then I started sailing and going and winning. But I think that's the church today. We have an idea of what we're supposed to do, but it's not always what God is saying to us to do. So we tend to do things the way we understand it, and that's why it doesn't feel like we're winning. That's why it feels like we're not moving forward. That's why we feel like, man, God, can I ever get ahead? It's like I take one step forward and take two steps back. I've heard so many people say that, and it's because I believe that we're playing the game, but we're not doing it God's way. That God has a way to see that seems right to Him, but we're not doing it. And a hush fell over the room. So I know plenty of people get along living that way, doing it their way. We make plans and then we run them by God, our plans. But I believe that, number one, today, God wants you to know that He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, we name our college and career group this, because I want the young adults in this church to know that God has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Just stop right there. God is thinking about you. He's thinking about you right now. He's thinking about you, Mom. Belanda, He's thinking about you. Marcus, God is the creator of the universe. He designed all this system right here. He's thinking about you. He is meditating on you today. And it says, He says He's planning how He can destroy you. How can you make your evil future? Well, anyway, what it says thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's not up there going, oh, how can I make Delanda's day bad? Boosh. I didn't mess it up. It's all right. He's not up there thinking about how can I give you a bad day. He's thinking, how can I make your day peaceful? He's thoughts of your future. How can I give you a future? And hope, hope, hope doesn't disappoint. When you hope in the Lord, hope is not a wish. Oh, I hope God. Hope is not a wish. Hope is a promise. It's a confident expectation of God's promise, provision, and character. That's hope is. It's not, oh, I wish God is. My hope is in God, that His promises are going to happen for me. Amen? I can stand in peace because He says that. He says this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? So as we seek Him and His way of doing things, He's going to take care of us. That's His promise. He's got a plan for us. Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 15, it talks about King Saul. And how King Saul was given instructions from the prophet. I want you to go to these people. These people need to be judged. I want you to kill men, women, children, everybody. I want you to kill the donkeys. I want you to kill the sheep. I do not want one living thing to come out of there alive. I want everything destroyed. They're such an evil people, God said. He said, you have to destroy everything. So they went in there and they were doing it. But then they saw that, some of them sheep and stuff would be really nice for sacrifice. And then King Saul said, maybe we ought to let the king live. We should let King Agag live. And so he let him live. And so Samuel comes and says, okay, did you do it? Saul says, yeah, we did it. Yeah, victorious, we did it. And Samuel starts hearing these sheep bleeding in the back. And he's like, where did them sheep come from? Well, the people thought that we ought to keep them. The people thought that we should keep them around, that they'd be good for sacrifice. And then the king, Agag, came strolling up, and Samuel says, who's this guy? Oh, that's the king. I thought I'd let him live. Samuel's upset now because that wasn't the plan. The plan was to kill everything. You know, sometimes we step outside of the plan that God has because, number one, we don't know God's plan. Number two, we're impatient with God's plan. You know, Delon and I, right before I went to Pakistan, the management company of our home said that the home's sold and we have to get out. I'm like, I'm leaving the country. He's like, well, why don't you go ahead and put everything in storage before you go? I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I lived there 9 years, you know. 9 years you accumulate. And so he tells me, you know, you need to get out. And I said, you got to give me 30 days at least, please. He said, okay, we'll give you 30 days. So, you know, I go to Pakistan. I'm gone, you know, a couple weeks, and I come back, and now it's time to, I gotta get out. But Delonda's been praying, and she's been seeking the Lord, and she's like, I feel like God wants to do something miraculously. And so when somebody says that, that's what I'm tuning into. I believe in the miraculous. I've seen the miraculous. I've seen God do amazing miracles. You know, so I said, well, what do you want me to do? She says, I don't want you to do anything. I'm like, what do you mean? She says, don't do anything. Let's just wait. I'm like, wait. You know, I'm a doer. I get things done. That's my job. I mean, Danny and I, we came in, we blazed out this wall in about 7 hours. I mean, we got things done. We get things done. That's the deal, you know. So when Delonda says, hey, we're going to move, we don't know where, don't do anything, just kind of sit on your hands, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, I believe this trial is as much God working patience in me as it is in anything. Because, you know, we want to jump and we want to do what we know to do and we want to take care of it. So to just wait for God to do something is very difficult. So I had a whole bunch of guys come over yesterday because we got to be out tomorrow. So they said, hey, we can help you on Saturday. So we loaded up the first truckload on Saturday. And they look at me and they say, okay, where are we going? I said, just a minute, let me go ask my wife. I did, Pastor Jesse. I'm like, oh, man. So I go in, I said, honey, I'm leaving. She goes, where are you going? I said, well, I guess I'm going to go to a storage place. She's like, okay. So we took it and we put it all in storage. So I came home and I said, well, we don't have to be out till Monday. So we're just waiting on the Lord. It's a challenge. Do you know when you feel God's got a plan for something, but everything inside of us wants to run ahead and take care of it, amen? You guys might think I'm crazy. Listen, I don't have any kids at home. I got Jeanette at home, but she's not a kid. You know, and the law does, you know, just teach me, just walk this out. It doesn't matter. And I'm like, it really doesn't matter. It's easy. You just go get another place. But it's really hard to wait to see, to allow God an opportunity to do something miraculous. Amen? If he does or doesn't, I mean, tomorrow's Monday. Hey, I got to be gone. I got one more truckload. I'm going to throw it in there tonight. And hey, whatever happens tomorrow happens. I don't care. But I would never want to push somebody to not walk in faith. As crazy as it may sound. Because everybody, all week long, people have been texting me, been calling me, you got a place to live, got a place to live, where are you going? I don't know. I'm waiting. And I'm okay with that. And Delonda's really okay with that. And Delonda's a nester. But when God has a plan, see, we get impatient. We don't like to wait for God's plan to come to unfold. So that's number two. So we don't know what God's plan is. We get impatient for the plan. Or God's plan doesn't make sense to us. See, it didn't make sense to wait to me. It's like, you know, before I went to Pakistan, I'm like, all right, I'll get you an apartment. You know, or we'll just rent another townhome somewhere. Whatever. Let's just get it done and you can move while I'm gone or whatever, you know. She's like, no, we're not going to do that. It just doesn't make sense. God's ways don't always make sense. But I believe that's why we miss out on a lot, because we try to put our 2 cents worth in there and do things ours way. It didn't make sense to Saul to kill everything when some of it looked really good. But he listened to the voice of the people. And the response that God had for Saul was, I regret making you king. And you could go on. Saul was going to go to war with the Philistines. He's waiting for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice. He's waiting, waiting, waiting. And Samuel's not there, and he really wants to go to war, and he's waiting. And then he says, all right, I'm going to do the sacrifice. So he stepped out above, out of his calling, out of his gift. He did the sacrifice. And then Samuel comes and says, what did you do? He says, this day the kingdom has been snatched out of your hands. He lost the kingdom because he did what he wasn't supposed to. He got impatient. I think, what if some of these guys would have just been a little bit more patient? What if we just would have understood what God wanted to do? As I've been reading in Luke chapter 21, you know, reading the book of Luke that we're on this month right now, I'm seeing things that are going to happen in this life. It talked about in Luke chapter 21, things that are coming our way. And I just keep in mind that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for us. And so when I'm reading Luke 21, there's things that he's making us aware of that are coming so that we know the plan that God has, so that as they come along, we don't get all freaked out. You know, like he says, there's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be nations against nations. Now, this is happening all over the world. Except we've been doing pretty good in the U.S. And you want to know why I believe we're doing so good in the U.S.? I mean, even as rough as it is and as tough as it is right now, it's because we sow to missions. $50 billion a year goes to missions. We keep giving to missions, sending missionaries, and God keeps blessing us. You know, I some of the places I've been and some of the churches that I've spoken around the world are just, man, you don't even want to sit down in them. Because they're not the cleanest thing, you know. You're looking at the ceiling and you're wondering, is that going to fall on my head? And remember that one little church in Peru we were at? That, oh my gosh. The pew was so rickety, I thought, I'm not going to, if I sit down and sing, I'm going to crush it, you know. And they give me a chair. I had the only plastic chair in the building for me to sit on. But I'm in these places, and then I start feeling guilty. I start feeling guilty because I thought, we're so spoiled. I mean, look at that. You guys see that I have a 70-inch monitor. That's why I look up sometimes, because everything goes up there. I can see it, and I can pull my points. I can read the scriptures. I have a 70-inch monitor up there. I got a camera that's picture, you know, videoing me right now. We've got a sound team. We've got computers, 2 big screens back there. You know, we have these wonderful soft chairs. We have these great buildings, wonderful lighting, a beautiful stage. I mean, we're so blessed. But I start thinking, oh, we're so spoiled, Lord. We're so spoiled. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not spoiled. You're blessed. America, we've been blessed. We've been blessed because of what we've been doing. We've been blessed because we're still sending missionaries, because we're still sending finances out. We're still raising up missionaries because we, as a church, we support missionaries. You guys support me to go around the world. It's incredible what you guys have done. I needed $5,000 to go to Pakistan. You gave me more. But I'm not up here. I'm not asking. You guys are just listening to the Lord, and you're giving. And I was able, when I came back from Pakistan, to put another $1,000 back into that travel account so that I could go to China. You guys are doing awesome things for the Lord. You're sowing seed around the world right now because God has a plan. And He has a plan that kingdoms will rise against kingdom. He has a plan that persecution is going to come. He has a plan that we're going to be betrayed. We're going to be hated. You know, I mean, you know, you watch the Newswire now, it says, you know, that we're the hate group now. We're the hate group and the hated group. You know, but these are the things that He warns us of so that we hear of every day of stuff going on. And but God gives us definite instruction in here. He tells us what to do in Luke 21:36. Because of His plan, He has an answer for everything that's going on. He says, watch. Everybody say, watch. We have to watch. It says, watch therefore, because all these things are going to happen. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So He tells us to watch and pray, to be watchful and prayerful about what's coming. Amen. That's God's plan for us, that we watch and pray, that we be aware. And I got to tell you, when I'm in Pakistan and I'm walking streets, I am watching. I got eyes in the back of my head. You know, you're walking and you're like, huh? You know, and like I said last Sunday, when your translator looks at you and says, you know, Pastor Ron, you are a very brave man. I think, really? Why? Why would you say that about me right now when we're walking down the streets filled with Muslims and stuff? What? Why am I brave? Aren't you protecting me? You know, that's... He would say, hey, Pastor, you take the lead. I said, no, I don't want to take the lead, man. I don't want to be the guy up front. I want to be the guy in behind. I want to be the guy in the crowd. But God has a plan, amen? And He calls us to watch. Everybody say, watch and pray. Come on, a little louder on the pray. Amen. He wants us to watch and pray. And this is one plan that we do not want to miss out on, amen? So, and number two, so the first one is we know that He has a plan. Number two is we need to listen to His plan. The Lord told me when I was writing this, He says that some of you know His plan, but you don't want to listen to it. I thought, ooh, that's a tough place to be. You know, when I was younger, Juwan, I did not want to leave the United States. I'm happy in Corona. I'm happy just ministering here at New Hope. I love it here. This is, wow, this is great. But then God told me, He said, I want you to go where you're invited. I'm like, oh. I didn't like to fly. I really didn't like to fly. I could tell you stories about me not liking to fly. And Delana's laughing because she knows. But His plan for me was that to go where I'm invited. And so I thought that would be easy because who wants me to come? I mean, really, Jesse, I'm the young adults pastor. I'm doing college career. We're out there just ministering out there. I'm not the senior pastor. I'm not some traveling evangelist. I thought, I can say yes to the Lord because who wants me to come? And somebody arranges for me to go to Germany, and I ministered there, and then in England, and then I come back, and then they said, hey, well, I believe you'd really do good in China. You should come with us. And then I'm in China, and then I find myself in England again, and then I'm in Italy, and then I'm in Peru. No, then I'm in Japan, and then when I was in Japan, they said, you know, now you have to go to Peru. So then I find myself in Peru, and next thing I know, I find myself going to China 3 times a year, Peru a couple of times a year, Europe once a year, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, I don't have money for that, but God always supplied the need to go. Because I said, God, if this is your plan, then I'm gonna say yes. And so when you say yes to God's plan, when you listen to God's plan and you say yes to it, then God can make a way for you to get there. Amen? And He did, and He made a way. But I'm not afraid to go where I'm invited. I even go to Pakistan. And I'm going to go again. Not as long. It's funny. My mechanic is Palestinian. He owns a home in Bethlehem. He's offered it to me to go to visit Bethlehem, you know. And it's on the wrong side of the fence over there right now, you know. But he says, it's a very nice home. It sounds like you'd love it there, you know. Well, the day I left, remember Lucy said that there was going to be some things that happened that were going to be difficult. But stay the course, because you're mature, you know what to do. So the day I left, John drives me to the airport. On the way back, my truck breaks down. He's stranded on the freeway. I'm like, oh boy. So he called me, and I said, call my mechanic. Call Zuhair, he'll take care of you. And so Zuhair did. He took it in. He did the front wheel bearings, the front rotors, brakes, calipers, did the rear brakes and rotors, everything. He did everything on my truck for $850. Incredible deal. Delonda says, you know, Ron, she says, you got to call him and thank him. I said, okay, I will. You know, so I was going to go call him, but he called me. He said, are you back, Pastor Ron? I said, yes. He goes, listen. He says, you don't belong on that side of the world. Please don't go there ever again. I'm like, Zuhair, it's okay. God is with me. He says, I know he's with you. But please, please, please don't go there again. You do not belong there. But when we listen to his plan. See, because James 4:5, it says, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. He yearns for us. He yearns for our attention. He yearns to talk to us. You know, in John chapter 10, I talked to you about the Good Shepherd last week in 10 through 14. It says, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. So him being the Good Shepherd, he knows the sheep, and he says that we should know him. And then it goes on down in verse 16, he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about us. We're the other sheep, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Hallelujah. They will hear his voice. That's us. That's you. That's me. We will hear his voice. Listening is the way to go. Amen. Listening and then waiting on him and not always just putting out. It's easy to pray. Man, I could pray for hours. But listen. Take time to listen. Quiet. Be still before him. Let him speak to you. Let patience run its course in you. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Our patience can become a big hindrance to us listening to the plan of God. Because we want to, man, I wanted to get it a place 3 weeks ago. Patience. Donna's like, patience. She told me. She said, if God doesn't do anything miraculous in this, I'm not going to hold it against you. Because of my impatience. You know, because I know he's working in me. You know, and that's the beauty of it. God is always working in us. It doesn't matter what level you think you are. God will always be at work in us if we allow him to. Amen. As I was thinking about this, listening to his plan, I was thinking about how the enemy tries to get us. You know, when you think about the enemy goes about like a roaring lion. And I was thinking about this week how the enemy will come like a roaring lion. And the lion makes the noise. And he goes in front of the herd of buffalo. And he makes all this noise and screams and shout. But the lionesses go down the side. The lionesses hide out over there. So the enemy comes. And he tries to make a lot of noise to distract you, to get your focus off of what's really going on. And so that somebody in that herd is going to freak out. Somebody in the herd is going to bolt, and then them lionesses pounce on it and eat it. See, that's what the enemy tries to do to us. We have the voice of the Lord coming, but the enemy's trying to make a lot of noise so that we can't focus in on the voice of the Lord, so that we miss what God has for us, so that we get devoured. And that's why it's one step forward and two steps back so many times, because we're not hearing correctly of what God is calling us to, or we're not obeying it because it doesn't make sense to us. Not everything is supposed to be make sense to us. Amen. Number three, do it His way. That just sounds so nice. Do it His way. Sounds so easy, doesn't it, Robert? Just do it His way. But so many times we get distracted by our own voice, get distracted by the people around us, you know, like Saul did. You know, what if Peter would have done it? I mean, Paul would have done it his way. I was thinking about Paul early this morning. I was thinking, man, what if he didn't go to Jerusalem? What if he didn't allow them to arrest him? Maybe we wouldn't have all the prison epistles. You know, what if he didn't go on those missionary journeys? What if Joseph didn't get the dreams that God sent him? What if Mary would have said, get away from me, I don't know you? You know, when God has a plan, we have to learn to do it His way, amen? You know, in James 4:17 it says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He has a way that's right to him, and he's calling us to that way, to do it his way. You know, I could still be playing that game, and if I hadn't really figured out the instructions, I'd still be losing. If we don't figure out the instructions, we're going to lose. Because when earthquakes, famines, pestilences, all that, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom, persecution, betrayal, hatred comes, what are you going to do? This whole book is filled with wonderful instruction. James. Patience. Loving God under trials. Qualities needed in trials. These are all the messages I've been speaking to you over the last few months. Qualities needed in trials. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Don't play favorites. You know, anybody that wants to can sit in the front row. Just don't take my seat. But you know, I mean, we don't play favorites in this house. You sit where you want. Like I've said before, go on the stage if you want to be on the worship team. Fonda's like, whoa, settle down, Ron. But I mean, if you want to step out, you want to dance before the Lord. Jeanette, I saw you up there waving flags on the stage. Oh my gosh. What are you doing? I seen you over here, Angela. Yes, waving flags and worshiping the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. But you know, when you step into what God has, you know, step into it. Do it. Faith without works is dead. That means, yeah, you have faith. So if you have faith, it's going to transform into works. I'm here because I have faith. And my faith has grown me into doing things for the Lord. I don't do to get faith. I have faith. Therefore, I do. Amen? And then the untamable tongue. The untamable tongue. You know, sometimes we say a little too much, don't we? We need to just learn to shut up, and God bless us. But there's so much here in this book, and he says, if it's sin to you, and you do it, it's sin. It's just like drinking alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink wine. I don't drink beer. I don't drink any alcohol. Because the Lord told me, don't ever drink alcohol again. I was like, okay. Very simple. Don't do it. So if I was to do it, then it would be sin to me. This is what happens, though. We go through in life, and God says something to us when we're younger. But when we're older, we think, well, one little glass of wine wouldn't hurt. What's the big deal? And we relax in it. I know a brother that, you know, he was not supposed to drink anymore, and then one day he had a glass of wine, and listen, the guy's not even in church anymore. He's so strung out, it's not funny. And drugs and everything. Because when you give the enemy an inch, he takes a mile. Now, I'm not saying you can't drink a wine or have a beer or whatever. The Bible says don't get drunk. I choose not to drink at all. But with the word, if you get drunk, then you're falling into sin. Amen? He says don't be a drunkard. So, but with that, for me, I can't do it at all because it would be sin. And there are certain things in your life that God has given you instruction on, but are you listening? God's given you a plan. Are you listening? Are you taking it to heart? Are you fulfilling? You know, when I was 18 years old, man, I could hide in the balcony and the guest evangelist would find me. You up there, come down here. I have a word for you. And I'd be like, man. I'd come down here and he'd say, you're going to preach. You have a heart like David. And he would tell me, and I thought, man, I don't want to be a preacher. I didn't. I was 18 years old. I didn't want, but you know, God has a way. I surrendered to him. I said, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. And it took me some time, but I got there. And now I'm just walking out that plan every day. And that's all God is asking. Just walk out his plan. Just listen to him. Take his plan to heart. And just do it. Just do it. Do his plan. It's that simple. Just do it. I just told first service, you know, when Dawn and I were growing in the ministry, and she always had this fear that God was going to send us to Africa. She always thought, we're going to end up in Africa. I know it. We're not dead yet, so we could still go there. But she went to Africa. And then when she came back, she said, yeah, I could live there and minister to them people. See, when you don't take that step, you get stuck. And I know none of us want to get stuck, amen? I want to move forward. I want to just do what God has called me to do, amen? I want to listen. And as I listen, even though it may not be what I want to do it. I never wanted to leave Corona. And now I've been around the world because of him. He said, so I go, I've had people ask me, how, you know, because I was just a young adults pastor. They'd say, how are you going around the world? I have no clue. When I got my Assemblies of God license, somebody came to me and said, well, it's about time you got a real license. I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, the ordination I received from New Hope took me around the world a few times. Where's your Assemblies of God license taking you? See, just listen, and then you do it. God makes a way. And you may be here today, and you may need some clear direction. I know I do. I got to be out of my house tomorrow. And I'm not afraid to stand here in front of you and admit it. Because, you know, I just want to live a life of faith. I want the faith my wife has. She just abandons herself to it because she knows God's going to take care of her. That's all I want. It's what I want to walk in. It's how I want to live my life. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I need to hear from heaven. I need to hear God's plan. And I need things kind of just cleared up in my hearing so that I can be right where God wants me to be. If that's you today, I want you to just stand to your feet because the Lord told me he wants to heal our hearing today. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm standing with you. And I'm just being honest with you. I want to hear so clearly. But I just know I'm just going to keep moving forward. Amen. Father, you see these men and women of God standing before you today. And you know all about us. And you know, Lord, the plans that you have for us. Lord, and we know they're good plans. They're planned to prosper us, not to harm us. You have a future and a hope for every person in this place. And Father, I pray that, Lord, with any blocks that the enemy's tried to put, any distractions that the enemy's tried to put up to block our hearing, to come down right now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that we would have clear hearing from the Spirit of the living God. That you just fill us overflowing today, Lord. And Lord, that we wouldn't be worried about what's ahead. And we wouldn't seek our own. But we would seek you, Jesus. The one who wrote the book on our lives. The one who created us for His purposes and His good will. Lord, that's all we want, your purpose, your good will in our life. So, Father, I pray that you would just give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And, Lord, that we would walk it out. Help us to be obedient to what we hear, even if it's foolishness to us, Father. That we may be a blessing to you. Lord, that we'll glorify you and exalt you, Father God, in all that we say and do. Let the ministry of the Holy Spirit just fill us today. Yeah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask if the communion service would come right now. Jesse and Angela, could you do this side, please? If you're born again and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are eligible for communion this morning. Amen. If you're not born again, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I give you my life today. Be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. And the way we do it is I'm going to ask everybody to stand. I want you to come and just get the emblems from the men and women of God here and just hold on to it, and we'll take it all together in a few moments. While you're doing that, as I was reading the book of Luke this week, and it was talking about the Lord's Supper, and as they partook of the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, Jesus said this right at the end of that. He said, "But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me at the table." You know, as we're getting ready to partake, just do a self-check. Make sure that you're not a betrayer, that you're living for Jesus. Just surrender it all to Him today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, for all of our lives, Lord, just forgiveness to flow in this place. It's the cleansing, Lord Jesus. The unrighteous thing that we've said or done, and we just put it under the precious blood of Jesus. Wash us and purify us, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your body. We thank you, Father God, for your body that was bruised and broken for us. Lord, we know the enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give us life and life more abundantly. Lord, we want to partake of that, of the things of God today. Lord, even as we've prayed for our hearing to be enlarged, that we could hear what the Spirit is saying, Lord, that we would be obedient to it, Lord. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to make a way for abundant life for us, that he took our sin, he took our sickness to the cross, that we could be forgiven and healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just partake of that forgiveness and healing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you that Jesus, you were willing to become a curse for us, so that we're not cursed, that we have life and life in the Spirit, that we are filled with the Spirit of God. And we give you praise today. And Lord, we take time to remember, Lord. We remember what you've done for us, the things that you've forgiven us for, the things you've cleansed us from. Lord, we remember the healings, the victories, Father. We thank you for those things today because of what Jesus did on that cross. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take the bread. Praise you, Jesus. We remember, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the shed blood of Jesus, by whose stripes we are healed. Lord, his blood purifies, and we receive that purification. Lord, in our minds, I pray, Lord, just purify our minds. Lord, that we would filter the things of God through a pure mind. Lord, that we wouldn't try and filter the things of the kingdom through a cluttered mind. But Lord, you wash us and cleanse and purify our mind today. Lord, we just release the things of this world to you, that they'll grow strangely dim to us. And Father, that you would just fill us today, Lord. Yeah, let it just flow today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Take the cup. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Just lift your hands and begin to praise him today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that loving kindness that you have for us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to walk in that love, Lord. That, Lord, I would love you and love people like never before. Lord, just pour out on us. We give you glory and honor and praise. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And we remember and we partake and we receive all that you've done for us, Lord, on the cross. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a big clap today, huh? Hallelujah. Before you go, I just want to take a minute to honor my wife. She has tolerated me for 34 years now. Yeah, hallelujah. She is a blessing, a woman of God, a Proverbs 31 woman, and just awesome. And yesterday we celebrated 34 years, and it's been an incredible journey. Love you, honey. Hey, Wednesday night we have Bible study.